Welcome to Lectionary Bites, a podcast for the busy pastor, the bogged down student, and the curious biblical scholar. Each short episode features different professors and students from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, narrowing in on an insight or two from the assigned scripture readings from the week. We hope these bites can support your sermon prep, spark new ideas and connections, and help you meditate on God's word throughout your busy week. Lectionary Bites is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.
Hello, and welcome to Lectionary Bites. My name is Sam Schick, and I'm a fourth-year MDiv student, and I've got another student here with me. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, Sam. I'm Eric Hart. I'm also a fourth-year MDiv student here at Concordia Seminary.
Great. So today we're going to be taking a look at the third Sunday after Easter text, which is John chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. It's got the option to include verses 15 to 19 in here. And I think that one of our tendencies is we like to run to that option because we really like seeing Jesus restoring Peter. Sometimes we like to focus on the meal right before that option. But today I wanted to focus on something a little bit different earlier on and really zoom in on this word proitas in verse 4. The way that it's unpacked in the book of John takes us back to remember what John is doing throughout this text, and it really shows us a little bit about where we stand in our lives.
Okay, so tell me a little bit more about this word, Sam. What does the word proitas mean, and how is it used here in our text in John?
So it'll be right at the beginning of verse 4. The word proitas has a lot of semantic overlap with the word proe, which is also used in John chapter 20. So this is the word when Mary goes to the tomb really early in the morning, very early in the morning. And that's actually where Jesus first appears to anybody, is proe. As we move into John chapter 21, we're seeing that word show up again. And so it might be helpful to zoom back a little bit now and take a look at the context of the book of John in general. So John likes to write in layers. He kind of introduces a theme and he'll pick it up in layers. And so he does this with daylight and nighttime a little bit. You see it all the way back in John 3. But one of the places I think it's important to focus on is John 9 verses 4 to 5, where he really fleshes out this theme. This is before Jesus heals the man born blind. He says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And during that day, Jesus works until the day that they kill him, when Jesus dies because he's shut up away from the world." And so you kind of see that there's this theme that day Jesus is working during the day from John 9 on until he's put up in the tomb. And then when we see Jesus again, it's proe at the beginning of John chapter 20 when Mary shows up and when Jesus shows up to Mary.
Right. So that's a really interesting kind of interplay between light and darkness, between day and night, between maybe kind of the sunrise where you see those first rays of light as the night is over and the light is coming. Really interesting here. What else did you find about this text and that word specifically, like in this lectionary reading?
Right. So specifically in this lectionary reading, so we see the day in John chapter 20, which is a very significant day. You know, proe, Jesus sends Mary to tell the disciples. And so at proe, Jesus is sending people to preach the gospel. Here again, in proitas, Jesus is kind of doing something similar. It's the dawn of a new day at John chapter 21. And this is the last day in the gospel of John. It's interesting that John actually leaves his gospel at the dawn of this new day. And this is when Jesus shows up. The disciples all night, some textual variants have them out there all night. In some texts, it just says that they were out there during the night doing some fishing. And of course, they're not going to catch anything at night because Jesus says we must work during the day. No one can work at night. So in the Gospel of John, it really makes sense that they catch nothing. until Proitas. When Jesus shows up, the light of the world shows up. And then it's then that they're actually able to work. Yeah.
That's really interesting, Sam. And something you'd miss if you just focus on the last part of that lectionary reading instead of focusing on the first part, especially with kind of that first phrase that includes Proitas. Okay, so the light comes, Jesus shows up, and suddenly they catch a bunch of fish. How do you think you could see this connecting to preaching? How would this theme work well, do you think, in a sermon?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So a couple of things that a lot of commentators really through the generations point out. Cyril of Alexandria points this out. Kostenberger, even in a more modern commentary, kind of points out the connection between this text and Jesus calling the disciples to be fishers of men. And then this is kind of a tradition, even through the ancient church, to look at this text and see it actually as signaling this kind of dawn of a new day. It's a new era. Now that Jesus has risen from the dead, he's conquered sin and death. And now his message isn't just for the Jews. It's not just for Jerusalem and Judea, but it's for the ends of the earth. And they see this kind of miraculous catch of fish as almost like a symbol for what Jesus is about to do. And that's bring in a huge number of people into his church, into his community. And so the connection that I really see for preaching is that Jesus brings us into this new day. You know, John's gospel ends at the dawn of a new day. We're still in that day because Jesus is still, he's still on the shore. And Jesus is still telling his church, not just his disciples, go cast the nets, share the gospel, because it's not you that is fishing. It's not you that's doing the catching, but Jesus is through us raking in believers into his church in this new day.
Yeah, Sam, that's a great sermon theme and great encouragement for the church. Awesome Easter text, too. I love that it's the third Sunday of Easter and they picked this text. And I love that you focused on the dawn of the new day. That's very fitting and just a great way to connect to the resurrected Christ and his work in our church today.
Right. And it's an important context, I think, to unpack the rest of this text. Jesus sends these disciples to do the work, and it's after this miraculous catch that we still have that Easter promise. You know, we still will gather around the charcoal fire with full restoration with Jesus and in that feast. But right now, we're in that season of life where Jesus is on the shore saying, cast the nets.
That's right. Yeah. Be fishers of men, which comes up in other places in the gospel as well. So yeah, great exhortation for the church today. And also great comfort that, yeah, Jesus does the work. He's standing on the shore. He's calling us to go be fishers of men. All right. Anything else from this text, Sam?
Yeah. So one of the leftovers, this is just kind of an interesting fact. I don't know if I would preach on it as such, but Cyril and Ammonius, another early church father, and a few others pick up on this kind of connection between them casting the nets over the right side as opposed to over the left side. And they like to connect this with John 1 verse 17, where John tells us the law was given through Moses, but really grace upon grace comes through Jesus Christ. And that when Jesus shows up, this is the new thing that really brings people into the church. The law doesn't necessarily bring people into the church, but the gospel goes out and yeah, wow, this is an amazing catch that they have. And so it's just kind of a way that they preach that through Jesus, when we cast the nets on the right side, when we listen to Jesus' words, we receive actually grace upon grace, and he brings in the believers.
Awesome, Sam. Yeah, thanks for talking about this text and how we might preach it today. Definitely, I think, a unique and helpful take on it, focusing on kind of the beginning of the reading with that imagery of the day dawning and Jesus standing on the shore and calling us to be fishers of men and cast our nets on the right side. And yeah, definitely good gospel proclamation there.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks for talking about this text, Sam. And thank you, listeners, for listening to another episode of Lectionary Bites. Hope this was helpful for you as you maybe consider preaching or teaching on this text.
If you enjoyed Lectionary Bites, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Facebook so that you don't miss a single episode. This podcast is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.